How are you feeling, Ugo?
I'm good. I'm excited to get to talk some tennis with you, and thanks for having me on the podcast. This is really great. I think you guys are doing an awesome thing, and yeah, it's fun. We got here to New York last night, and just excited to prep for the Open and get it going.
What does that look like for you traveling with Venus, going to all these tournaments? What's that kind of travel schedule look like?
Venus doesn't play a full schedule, so it's probably not as hectic as other players who are playing a full schedule. She picks and chooses a little bit what she plays and what she can play. So the grass court season, we played two warm-up tournaments before Wimbledon. We had a week off right before Wimbledon that we used to prep. And then we played Wimbledon. So that was a good 4.5 weeks on the road. Then we went home for another 4 or 5 weeks to get ready for the hard court swing. And now we kind of did a similar thing for the hard court swing, where we played Montreal, Cincinnati, week off to prep, and then the Open, you know, starting on Monday pretty soon here.
That's awesome. And at this point in her career, when she's going into the U.S. Open, what's her goals? What is she looking to accomplish there?
I mean, Venus is a competitor, so she wants to win. It doesn't matter what tournament she's playing, who she's playing, how she's prepped for it or how she's been able to prep for it. She wants to go out there and she wants to win. So her mentality is just to go out there and win, and obviously take it a match at a time. But whenever she walks on the court, she's got one goal, and that's to perform well and win.
I love that. I think everyone would probably be interested to hear how long you've been working with her, how that relationship started in the first place.
Yeah, I started with Venus at the beginning of April. We connected through a mutual friend, Jameer Jenkins, who is on Coco Gauff's team now and was with Serena previously. I've known Jameer for many years and helped him a little bit with his game, and he was hitting with Venus in Palm Beach Gardens, and he mentioned to me that Venus was looking for a coach, and that he had mentioned my name to her. And I said, man, that's awesome. I would love to do a trial run and see if things work out and when we click. And fortunately we did. We did about a week trial where we practiced probably about 4 or 5 times in that week. And, you know, we're just talking a lot of tennis. She asked me a lot of questions about, you know, her game and how I saw her game developing and how I saw her playing now at this stage in her career. And we just kind of agreed on a lot of things and really clicked, and the chemistry was great from the start. So it's been really awesome. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity and the experience. It's been amazing.
Yeah, that's very cool. I imagine for a lot of people, it might be intimidating stepping on the court with her in really a tryout to be her coach. What was that like for you?
I've been around tennis for so long, and I've been lucky enough to play in big stages and play against big name players. I was lucky enough to play against Rafa and Quirton back in the day and all those guys. So, you know, that obviously preps you to be on the court with a legend, with an icon like Venus is. There's definitely some nerves and some jitters there on my part, but, you know, she's great. And again, I love what I do, and I'm so passionate about it. And I feel like I can bring a lot to the table. And, like I said earlier, it was pretty easy from the start. We just kind of clicked.
That's awesome. And we'll have plenty of time to talk about Venus, but I think this is probably a good spot to learn a little bit about your career and, kind of how you got to this point. Obviously, I know your junior career was pretty impressive, really is the best you can get, 1 and 2 basically through 12s, 14s, 16s, 18s. What was that like?
It was pretty great. It was a great learning experience. I'm sure there are many guys that had a much better junior career than I did, but mine wasn't bad. I remember playing a lot of tournaments and competing a lot, which helped. My dad was my coach back then, and you know, I was lucky that he had a very growth mindset mentality. So for him, yes, the results were great and having a good ranking was awesome. And it teaches you to deal with different situations a lot. But the main thing was just to develop your game and get better and improve, and especially get better at dealing with pressure situations and the expectation of winning all those things that surround the game that are so difficult to deal with. So I was lucky to have him in my corner, lucky that I still have him in my corner. And he kind of just ingrained this mentality of like, yes, we're out there to win and we're out there to do well. But more importantly, especially in the early stages of junior tennis, you're out there to just work on your game and keep getting better.
Yeah, I think that's a very refreshing approach, because you see a lot of junior players get burnt out on the circuit. It's very, very demanding for them. It's kind of interesting that your coach was your dad. I think that you see that sometimes these days. I would be interested to hear your opinion on players working with family members as coaches versus bringing in some outside help at the junior level.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously every situation is different and every player is different and you know, they're just different. It's so hard to have one way that works for everybody or a certain pathway that'll be good for everybody. So I think it's really important to analyze each situation at a personal level and understand if the player is getting the right help and he's on the right path and he keeps getting better, you know, as he progresses and he gets older, then obviously they're doing something right. If things are getting better and players are improving, I think it gets tough when players get stuck, you know, and then the improvement's not there, or the results aren't there after a long period of time. And you have parents that are, you know, just hard headed and just want to keep sticking with it because it's their way or because they think that they might know. I was lucky enough that my dad was super open-minded about, you know, bringing people in from the outside or getting other people's opinions, whether it was big name coaches or local coaches or former players or USTA at the time. And he just did a really good job of having a lot of positive, good voices to influence me. And he did an excellent job filtering that information in a way that he felt would help me. And it worked out pretty good for us.
Yeah, it clearly did. I mean, obviously you ended up making it to the pro level and having success there. What, when you were a junior, was it always looking ahead to becoming a pro, or what was the goal like there?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was mainly my thing. I was kind of the one leading the charge, and my dad was always very supportive. Both my parents were, my whole family was, luckily. But for me, I always wanted to be a professional tennis player, and there wasn't really a doubt in my mind. And I was willing to do and whatever it took to try and achieve that goal. And if I didn't, then it was fine by me. As long as I knew that I tried everything to achieve that goal, that was such a big deal for me.
That's awesome. And thinking back into your junior career, when you were preparing for some of these national tournaments, what was your mindset like in those instances?
Yeah, it was, you know, I approached it pretty much the same way my whole career, where it was just, I was going to go out there and just leave it all on the court. I felt like if I prepared in a way that I felt there was nothing I could have done better to prepare for the tournament, then that would kind of help me relax when I got to the tournament, knowing that, hey, I did everything I could. I always noticed that when I got to a tournament and my preparation wasn't great, whether it was because, you know, I didn't spend enough time on the court, or I didn't, you know, do the fitness or the strength conditioning stuff as much as I should have, then I always got to the tournament with a voice in the back of my head of this little voice saying, like, you could have done more, you could have prepared better. So for me, it was always key to just have that feeling of, okay, I did everything I could, I'm ready. And then when I got to tournament, it was that same mentality of like, look, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to compete my heart out, work on the things we've been working on. And if I finish the match and I can honestly look in the mirror and say, hey, I did everything I could, then it was fine. I mean, yes, losses hurt, but you can get over them a lot quicker when you know you've done everything in your power to try and win.
Yeah, I think tennis is a really interesting sport in that you could go a full season without winning a tournament and be the second top player in the country. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that type of sport. Only one person wins every Saturday.
Yeah, it's very tough in that way, is that there's only one winner every week. And, you know, that's why you can't just look at results or be so result oriented. I think focusing on the process, like I said a little bit earlier, and just seeing that you're getting better and that you're working hard, then it becomes more of a matter of time of when those good results will come. But I think if you put in the work, then eventually, sooner or later, the results start to show up.
Totally. And towards the end of your junior career, too, I imagine you probably were getting some interest from colleges and kind of had to make that decision of what's next for your career. What was that experience like for you?
I took some visits, official and unofficial, especially the Florida schools. I was talking to a lot of coaches. I developed a great relationship with a lot of the college coaches. some of them who are still coaching now. And, you know, even while I was taking visits, in the back of my head, I still kind of knew that, you know, I didn't want to go to school. I was never a big fan of school anyways. So I just wanted to play tennis. In the back of my head, I kind of knew that. So making the decision wasn't that hard, but definitely, you know, communicating it to some of the coaches that I had a good relationship with, and maybe even came close to thinking about going to some schools, breaking it to them. That was, you know, one of the first really difficult conversations I remember having as a young adult, sitting down with a coach and letting him know that, you know, you're not going to go that way, that you're going to pursue something else. And, you know, a lot of the coaches were very supportive and, you know, wished me my best. And some of them were a little bit doubtful, but, you know, my perspective was just kind of use that doubt to fuel the fire a little bit and help me work harder and motivate me.
Was there any specific indicators that made you feel like, okay, I'm ready to go pro right now?
Honestly, no. There wasn't any one thing where like, oh yes, you know, I feel like I can go pro because of this. I mean, if there was one thing, it was my commitment to seeing my goal or my dream through. I mean, that was the one thing that drove me to say, okay, I'm going to do this. But it wasn't anything. I mean, I for sure it wasn't the biggest kid or the most physical kid. I was a late bloomer, so I wasn't very strong physically. I was very tough mentally. Maybe because I wasn't, you know, strong physically, I kind of had to rely on my mental toughness a little bit. I had the upside of developing some really big weapons like my forehand and my serve and my movement, you know, later on were weapons that I developed. And you saw signs of that as me at 17 or 18. But, you know, there's never a sure thing that says, oh yeah, this guy is ready. Unless, you know, there's obvious cases out there for young guys around the age of 17 or 18. But for me in particular, no, there wasn't anything black and white that said, oh yeah, you should go pro because you have this.
And then when you made that transition to your professional career, I could imagine that it might have been a little bit stressful right at the beginning. As you start to play those tournaments and everything, what was that experience like for you?
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a lot of pressure on your shoulders. When you turn pro, now you're playing to make a living and to establish yourself. And I was lucky enough to have some international experiences at the ITF level. And I played some junior slams. So, you know, those experiences helped me a ton as far as the traveling goes and being away from home and maybe being in some places that are not so great, along with some places that were pretty great, but yeah, it's just all, you just embrace it and understand that it's just part of what you decided to do. And you try to have a positive perspective and a positive outlook on it and build on each week. And the biggest thing is to, especially the first few years when you turn pro, is it's so important to just be a sponge and just absorb experiences and lessons from, you know, other players that have been around longer than you or coaches, and just help yourself learning those lessons as you go along the way.
I think that's a great point. Is there any particular strategies or anything that you would recommend for players that are looking to soak in more knowledge and improve their skill sets?
Yeah, I mean, a great example is today, Venus hit with a hitting partner today, and on one of the water breaks, he's like, hey, you know, any advice on my game? Like, you know, what do you see? Or so I think just being open to asking questions, you know, and especially if you come across coaches that have been, you know, doing it for a while, or even other players, other American players, if you're an American, and just being open and reaching out, it's okay to ask these questions, because the sooner you learn the stuff, the sooner you're gonna learn those lessons and start to improve on and off the court.
Oh, 100%. And then in your professional career, as kind of you started out getting a little bit more momentum and everything, was there ever any moments where kind of you felt some doubt early on in your professional career or anything like that?
Oh my gosh, every other week. it's always there. I mean, it's part of the gig. And I think it's so important to surround yourself with good people and good coaches that are going to help you understand that, hey, look, it's normal to have those doubts, and everyone has them. It's just, you know, how you use them and how you move forward that are going to make the difference. But yeah, especially at the beginning, you know, you go out and you go play in Central America or South America and Europe, and you're traveling the world, and maybe you don't have three or four weeks where you don't have the results that you were expecting, and all of a sudden the doubts, like you said, start creeping in. But that's where you go back to relying on the team that you surround yourself with and the hard work that you're putting in, and understand that this is not something that happens overnight. Those are the exceptions. I come across a lot of young players that are trying to turn pro, and I hear this a lot, and it's like, oh, I'm giving myself 6 months to play some pro tournament. I'm giving myself a year. And it's like, man, it's hard enough when you're willing to commit long term. When you put an expiration date on it, it makes it that much worse. So my advice would be, like, if you're going to go into it with the understanding that this is a long-term process, and don't give yourself any due dates as far as how long you're giving yourself to make it to a certain point. I mean, you have guys that have success fairly quickly and then they fall off and you never hear from them again. And then you have people that it takes them forever to break through, and they end up having great careers. So it goes back a little bit to what I said earlier. Everyone is so different. So don't compare your path to anyone else's.
Oh, 100%. I think that is really becoming one of the central themes from everyone that we talk to, is that each player is an individual, is different, has a different mindset, has a different physical attributes, all that kind of stuff. So it really comes down to tailoring whatever you do around what's going to make you the best, I think, right?
What 100%. I mean, I've been lucky enough to work with many players, and I haven't had two players the same at any level, junior or pro level. They're motivated by different things. They're scared of different things. Everyone is so different. It's so important for me from the coaching side, when I start working with players, to just establish a really good foundation and a good relationship with the players, to really understand them and really understand, what their fears are, what motivates them, what their goals are. How do I get the most out of their tennis? And it all comes from just getting to know the person and the player.
Yeah. How do you do that? Get to know, the players that you're working with on that personal level so that you can really break through and help improve their game?
Look, I mean, just by spending time on the court and just being really aware when you do spend time with them, and seeing what frustrates them, what pushes their buttons, where they set their own limits, and let them know that, hey, that's not your limit. You can give a little bit more, you can go a little bit further. And there really isn't a limit. Maybe there's a limit. There was a limit today, but that doesn't mean that tomorrow the limit can't be a little bit further away or a little bit higher. So I think as a coach, it's your job to really focus and be aware of the little things during a practice, during a match, during a conversation where you're talking about tennis, whether it's, at the courts when you're having lunch or getting ready for a match, and really, really pay attention so that you can help them in the best way possible.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to hear a little bit about in your professional career, those how you personally were able to push through in those limits and kind of continue to level up throughout your time as a pro.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few different ways where I kind of, started believing in myself. Obviously, the number one, the first thing that comes to mind is having a really good win, right? Or beating someone that when you walk on the court, you're like, man, I don't know if I can, beat this guy. Like, this guy's top 20 or top 30. And then you go out there and you relax and you start playing your game and you come out and you win. And that, that is pretty instant self-belief and recognition on your abilities and in your ability to compete against the best and play against the best. Hard work, working your butt off day in and day out are ways of proving to yourself that you can push yourself a little bit further, doing a little bit more each day. And again, it's something that comes with time. You're not going to go from, running 1 mile to running 20 miles in one day, but you can work your way there. And as long as you have that understanding that, hey, if I push myself 5%, 10% each day, there's really no limit to how far I can go. Also practices, like if you're lucky enough to spend practice with some really good players or top level players, and you get on the court and it's a little bit more relaxed and you realize that, hey, this guy's not much different than I am. He hits his forehand pretty good. He's got a good serve. He does. And you start to see those things, but it takes awareness. You know, a lot of times as a young player, you get on the court and you're so freaked out that you're on the court with some, you know, with a big name or with a great player that you don't look at these things. And that's where I think it's the coach's job to point it out to the players and be like, hey, do you notice how this guy just had a rally and he missed four or five balls in a row? It happens to everybody. So it's just the difference is how they deal with it, what they learn from it and the adjustments that they make, as opposed to just sit there and beating themselves up and being negative because they missed three or four balls in a row. So I think there's many ways to realize that you can give more, that you can achieve more.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's kind of the name of the game, is just always pushing yourself to be better every day, day in, day out. And like you said, that's the process and that's the only way that you'll get there.
Yeah.
And then, What was it like for you, growing up playing tennis, and then finally you're in these grand slams, you're on the courts, you're playing. What is that like?
It was a dream come true. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. It was the coolest thing ever for me, and it still is. Look, I was lucky enough. We practiced on Ash today, and just walking into that stadium and being on that court is just like, you know, looking back as a little kid when I watched Wielander and Edberg and Becker and Lendl and all these great players at Mac playing on center court at these grand slams. And now I'm there, whether now it's coaching, but I was lucky enough to play in some big courts as a player. It's an unreal feeling. It's a feeling of, you know, all the hard work, all the sacrifices that my family made, that I made, you know, were not for nothing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can only imagine what it's like to actually be down there on Arthur Ashe with a stadium full of people going nuts, you know?
Yeah, it's a pretty great feeling. And even though it's practice, you'd be amazed how many people come out and watch Venus practice. So it's pretty cool to walk out there to a big crowd just for practice.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, that's awesome. Good weather up there right now, too.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, coming from Florida, I'll take anything that's a little bit cooler than Florida, and it's been great up here.
That's awesome. And then in your professional career, obviously got up to a top 100 ranking. When did you kind of know, all right, I'm going to have to take a step away from the game and get into coaching?
Well, knowing when it was time to step away from the game was easy for me. I kind of knew the last year on tour for me was 2008. And at the beginning of that year, the motivation wasn't the same. I was cutting some corners with, you know, workouts and practices. And I wasn't able to keep the grind up. And then after Wimbledon, I played Wimbledon doubles in 2008. And on the flight back, I just kind of knew, I was like, I think I'm done after this year. Like, this is enough. I'm not really enjoying it as much as I was previously. I knew I wasn't working as hard as I should have been. So I kind of knew probably midway through 2008 that was going to be it. I got ready, funny enough, at the end of 2008, I did a really good preseason and got ready to play qualies in Australia in singles and play the doubles there. But when it was time to go, I was just like, man, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. So I decided to stop. I talked to my dad and he was very supportive. He was sad, but supportive. And then I just was going to take some time. I honestly didn't know what I was going to do. I thought maybe I can look into going to school. Maybe I can coach. But I wanted to take a little bit of time to figure it out. And, I got a call from Jay Berger, who was at the USTA at the time. And he said, hey, I heard you're not playing. And would you like to come by the USTA and talk? And I was like, yeah, sure. And, you know, drove down to Boca, because that's where UCA was back in the day, and had a great conversation with Jay, and he offered me a job with player development, coaching juniors, and I started coaching, hit the ground running.
What is that like for somebody who's kind of at the pinnacle of the game to go back down and get on the court with junior players in that capacity?
I loved it. I thought it was great. I enjoyed being on the court, especially USCA. You know, they had a lot of really good juniors, if not the better juniors. So it was great to be on court with those guys and try to pass on some of the lessons that I had learned. And at the same time, I approached it the same way I approach everything. When I start something, I was just trying to be a sponge and surround myself with all the USCA, great USCA coaches that were there, and learn from them and talk to them about my experiences and listen to theirs and it was a little bit of both, to where I was able to help these younger kids out with everything that I had learned, but I was very aware that I had, you know, so much to learn still about coaching at all levels, not just the junior level.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's always really important for young coaches to surround themselves with better mentors and everything like that. Was there anything when you first got into coaching that kind of surprised you, or that you weren't necessarily ready for?
No, I don't think so. And mainly because I went through that process as a player, you know, who was coached by their dad. I had spent time with the USTA as a junior player as well. As well as a pro player also. They used to have some pro camps back in the day. So there was nothing really alarming. I felt like I had, you know, been through that process from the 10 and unders all the way through the pros to kind of seen it all. So there wasn't anything alarming or surprising. The one thing that – I guess there was one thing that was surprising was the physicality of the kids when I started coaching compared to when I was a junior. I mean, these kids were, you know, way better athletes and, you know, much stronger at 14, 15 than I ever was at that age. Or I think anybody that I played juniors with at that age was.
Wow, that's a cool thing that I would love to discuss a little bit more, is that the difference between strength and conditioning and physio and all of that, and how that's played a role in junior tennis since when you were playing till now. It sounds like a pretty big jump there.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, the importance that strength, conditioning, nutrition, mental health or mental toughness play now is much bigger than when I was playing junior tennis. I mean, yes, there was fitness. Everyone had a fitness coach and you did your workouts, but the way that has evolved since I was a junior player to now is incredible. I mean, it's been a quantum leap, honestly. And even at the pro level, I remember when I first started playing pro tournaments, there weren't a lot of strength conditioning coaches or physios on the road with players. I kind of saw that change gradually as I was playing. It went from not seeing, you know, those guys as much to only seeing them with top players to then, like, instead of the top 10, it was the top 20, then the top 30. And then, you know, I look around now and almost everyone that's doing well has got a strength conditioning coach, a physio with them, a tennis coach. It's a much bigger deal.
Yeah, definitely. It's pretty clear at the pro level because you can see when they're all traveling together and everything. But I think it's something that's going to continue to grow at the junior level, is finding better access for junior players to get with better physios and strength and conditioning coaches and everything.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a huge part of the game now more than ever. It's if you can get a junior player to, you know, to a certain level of strength, and for them to move properly and quickly, is just as big a weapon, if not bigger, than having a really good forehand or a big serve.
Definitely. Is there any particular training methods or approaches to that side of the game that you would recommend to any junior players that are trying to improve there?
I mean, look, a little bit going back to what I said earlier, every player is different. You know, you're going to have guys that need to work on strength. You're going to have guys that need to work on coordination or explosiveness or quickness. So I just think finding a strength conditioning coach or a fitness coach that understands the strength and weaknesses of each player and is going to develop them accordingly, specifically for tennis, I think is super important.
Yeah, I think that's a big piece, is specifically for tennis. You know, that can be a big advantage that a junior player could gain.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, so you're coaching at with the USTA. That's going well for you. Are you liking that? Is that something? Do you feel like at this point in your life, okay, I'm locked in, I'm going to coach forever? Is that where your head's at?
Yeah, pretty early on when I started at USTA, I kind of knew that, okay, this is what I'm doing. Forget school. I want to stay involved with tennis. I want to be on the court. And at what level that was going to be, I was fine with it, whether it was junior, whether it was amateur, whether it was college or pro. That was not the goal for me. It was just to keep learning and growing as a coach. And helping players that want to get better at whatever level that was. And I did that for about 2 years at the USCA, and it was great.
Wow. And then I imagine you got to coach some pretty good players. Did anyone go on to have a decent career or anything?
Yeah, I spent a good amount of time with Ryan Harrison when he first got his start on tour. Probably a good 4 to 6 months with Ryan. Then I did shorter trips here and there with other players. But I spent most of my time there was spent with junior players. Back then it was Raymond Sarmiento and Luca Quarantelli and Evan King, who's still playing doubles. So it's good to see him on the road sometimes and catch up and reminisce. But yeah, kind of the guys that age, they were around 15 to 16. I took them to Kalamazoo and then ran some college camps where I ran into, got to meet Stevie Johnson when he was still at SC and a lot of those guys. So it was a great experience. I got so much experience there and learned so much.
Yeah. What was that like taking the guys out to Kalamazoo? I imagine that you had a good time up there.
Oh, it was fun. It was fun. It was fun going back there, having played there many, many years before those guys. But it's always great when you get to go on the road with a player. I feel like that's when you really get to know them, and you really get to the good stuff of them being away from their comfort zone and having the pressure that Kalamazoo can put on some kids' shoulders and the expectations of doing well there. So I loved it. I loved it because I really got to know the kids there a lot more than on a day-to-day basis back in their training grounds.
Yeah, definitely. I think the tournament culture for junior tennis in America is pretty strong. Like, you know what I mean? They all have these relationships that they're developing with everyone and they see each other. Is that kind of how it goes on the pro tour too?
Yeah. I mean, it's similar, probably not to that extent. I feel like there's so much more on the line at the pro level, but yeah, I mean, you have, friends that you hit with or practice with a lot, or you go out to dinner with and you have your close circle of, peers and friends that you compete against with, but you also have good relationships with. You also see the camaraderie with each country. You see the Swedes like to stick together a lot, and the French are very close, and so are the Italians and the Argentinians. And so it's cool to see that.
What would you say the American tennis, profile is on the world tour? Where how do people perceive the Americans?
Oh man, you probably have to ask someone who's not an American that question. But I can mm-hmm. but I can tell you this: the group of American guys are super close. I mean, a lot of those guys grew up together, and they've been around each other for many years, and they cheer each other on, and they're always texting and calling each other, and hey, congrats, great job this week. Next week's my turn, or you broke into the top 10. I'm coming for you. But in a good friendly competitive environment, and it's so good to see that.
Yeah, definitely. You can if you're a person at home, you can see that on like the Netflix documentaries and everything. You can tell that these guys really kind of enjoy hanging out together.
Yeah, yeah, they do, and you can see it if you follow these guys on social media too. You can see if they're always posting, about each other. If one of them's doing well, and so I think they're enjoying it. And if you ask me, I think they're doing it the right way.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And so back to a little bit of your development as a coach. After USTA, what was next for you there?
So when I left USTA, I went back to Bradenton, Florida, which is where I grew up. And I opened the tennis academy with my dad. This was around end of 2010. And we started from ground zero with, I think, two players. And then 6 months into it, we were up to about 20, 25 players and decided to kind of just cap it at that because it was starting to get away from us a little bit, and we felt like we couldn't give the players the attention that we wanted to give them. We were really big on individual training, so we never really had more than two, maybe three if we were doing two-on-one stuff, three players on a court max. And we were putting in some long days and some long hours. So with kids all levels, but high school players, beginners, guys that were playing Kalamazoo, some guys and girls that were starting to play pro tennis. So it was great because I got a good mix of players to work with. So it was great. And the best part was being there with my dad and working alongside him doing it together with him was awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is really awesome. Yeah. I can imagine. And then one thing that I know for a fact that a lot of junior families are on the fence on out there is sort of, you know, do I go the academy route? Do I work with a private coach? Do I just work with my dad?
Yeah.
And I would love to hear kind of your opinion as somebody who ran an academy, what parents should look for in those environments before they commit, you know?
Yeah. I think it's important to find a program or a coach that understands the player's needs and their goals. I'm not a big fan of throwing a bunch of kids on the court and just having them do the same drill and training everyone the same way. It goes back a little bit to what I said earlier, where every player is different and they need, you know, different amount of time on the court, different type of training. So I think if you can find, ideally, and this is tough to do, but if you can find a balance where they're getting some private or personal coaching and guidance, and then also spending some time with other players or other programs where they can go in and play practice matches and play singles and play doubles and keep that competitive edge. I think that would be ideal, where you have a good balance of both. But I've never been a fan of putting too many eggs in one basket and either going, you know, the academy route where they're just maybe are just going to be a number there, or just having, you know, a private coach and just doing private lessons day in, day out, day in, day out. I think if you can find a balance where players are getting a little bit of both, and that's ideal.
100%. How important do you think practice matches are for junior players in their development?
I think they're extremely important as long as you take the right approach. If you're going to go play a practice match and it's going to be just about winning, then I think you're wasting a lot of time. Now, if you're going to use practice matches to actually work on things and develop skills and things that you've been working on and use them to get better, then I think, you know, you can't go wrong. I think it's the best way to do it, especially if you have a coach on court with you who's, you know, guiding you throughout the match and pointing things out and be like, hey, look, this is what happened last week, this situation, so make sure it doesn't happen again. And I think you can get a lot of benefits from having a coach on court during practice matches.
100%. What do you think, because I get this question a lot too, is should I be playing practice matches against people that are better than me, against people that are my skill level, against lower skill levels? For those practice matches, what do you think about in terms of who you're going
to
play?
I'm a fan of playing practice matches of whoever wants to be on the court with you, whether they're below you or at your same level or way above you or way below you. Like it always goes back to you, right? And what you make of it. I think it's super important to play with everybody, because you work and learn different things. If you just work with players that are better than you, then yeah, you know, they might push you and your tennis will improve. But I can guarantee you the second you go to a tournament and you play someone that you're expected to beat, you're going to be very uncomfortable on the tennis court, because you created this habit of being on the court with someone who you're not supposed to beat, and you kind of just play relaxed. And if you lose, it's okay, because they're way much better than I am. But if you practice those scenarios and you go on the court and play guys that are below you and know that, oh shoot, I'm supposed to beat this guy. And you do that during practice consistently, then when it happens in a tournament, it's a situation where you're used to it. You've been there 2-3 times a week. So it just becomes another match and easier to focus on your tennis and your execution.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. It's all really in preparation for the match day itself, and any advantage you can get for that is going to be big time.
Yeah.
And then, so when you were kind of coaching in the academy with your dad and everything, at this point, did you feel like you sort of developed a coaching philosophy or style or any of that kind of thing?
I don't know if it's a philosophy or a style, but I'm really big on getting to know the individual and getting to know the players. Like I said earlier, then that gives me an idea of how I can approach to helping them or coaching them. But if I don't know what makes them tick or what their comfort zone is or where they draw the line for themselves as far as how far they think they can go, it's really tough for me to improve much other than, you know, improving their strokes and technicalities, and which are very important, especially during the developmental stage. But at the end of the day, when it comes to competition and all that stuff, my philosophy is getting to know the player as best as I can, and also putting myself in the player's shoes and really understanding what they need from me and tried to give them that.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a really interesting thought there, though, on kind of the difference between coaching technical skills and then coaching on all of those other aspects of the game. And what I'm wondering is, working with someone like Venus, is how much technical talk do you have with her about her forehand or backhand, those sort of things? And how much of the conversation is about strategy and those other mental parts of the game?
Yeah, I think the majority of our conversations, especially when it comes to approaching matches, are strategy and how to approach the match, right? And how to deal with certain situations mentally. I mean, a player like Venus, who's achieved and done what she's done, at 43, she's not going to make any massive technical adjustments. I can tell you that. Are we tweaking some things here and there or in specific situations? Yeah, absolutely. Just the other day, we were talking about when she gets pulled out wide to the forehand, how she needs to keep her hand loose and relaxed. So she has a tendency to grip the racket a little too tight. So little things like that, more so than anything, you know, too technical. But I think technique is super important at the development stage, especially with young juniors. It's a lot easier to coach them later on if they've been. If they're technically sound at a young age. So technique is huge for me at a young age. Can a pro make technical adjustments? Absolutely. I think we saw it with Nadal many years back when he changed his serve, and we see it with players quite a bit. So, you know, those guys are definitely able to do it. I don't think it's anything too drastic. But yeah, I think, again, a good balance of both. And, you know, in this case for Venus in particular, it's more about strategy and mentality than technicalities.
Yeah, I can imagine that's really interesting stuff. Great, probably crazy conversations you guys have about the game and everything with her background.
It's fun. I mean, her tennis IQ is through the roof. And, you know, you add all her experiences to her tennis IQ. And yeah, I mean, we have some great conversations and we have a lot of fun with it on court. But I like to think that we both have a good sense of humor. Sometimes we're sarcastic about it and sometimes we just make fun. But yeah, I mean, it's really cool to have those conversations with her for sure.
Definitely. And then getting back to the academy days, back when you were working with your dad, how did that I guess wrap up and you take that next step in your career?
Yeah, so the academy was doing great. And then I got an offer to coach privately, where I am now in Palm Beach Gardens. And it was just a really great opportunity that was going to allow me to spend a little bit more time with my family. We had just had our first son, and we were trying for number two. And we just, it just kind of came at the perfect time, to where I wouldn't, you know, have to put in those long days and long hours that I was at the academy with my dad and give me a little bit more time to spend with my newborn son and with my wife. So yeah, I mean, it was great. I'm glad I got to do it. My dad was very supportive of the move and understanding. And, he still kept it running for about a year and a half after I left. And then it got to the point where it was a little bit too much for him. And he just stuck with, I think maybe a handful of players that he was helping out, and it just worked out great for everybody.
That's great. And when you made that move down to South Florida, mm-hmm. Did you immediately start coaching higher level players, or how did that happen?
No, not full time. I was working with this player that I moved down there to coach, and at the same time, I would help out players here and there. And you know, I had families that would come to the academy in Bradenton now reaching out to me saying, hey, can the kids still come down? And I developed these great relationships and got to know these people really well. So some of these kids are like, you know, adopted kids of mine and they would come down to Palm Beach Gardens and stay with me at my house and, you know, train over the summer for a week or two. Then I'd, you know, they'd go back to their house and, or come down for weekends or tournaments. So I was doing a little bit of that while coaching privately down there. And then slowly I started, you know, working with different players that were, you know, starting to play on tour and starting to do a little bit better. And then one thing, just networking, and one thing led to another. And And now I work with quite a few of the pro players.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be a really cool experience coming in to a player like Venus, who has a well-established career, and adding a little bit more to her game, right? Because there's a reason why she hired you, you know.
Right.
You bring in good energy. She wants you there. That has to feel pretty good, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's an honor, and I told her that the second that we agreed to join forces, I guess you could say, it's an honor to have someone like her trust me, to count on me day in and day out for her training, for her matches, and it's been really fun to have that front row seat and to be a part of it.
And then what's the team look like that she travels with? I know there's probably a couple more.
Yeah, so it's myself, and then she travels with a physio. She has her main physio is this girl from Spain that's here this week. The last 2 weeks we had another physio that Venus works with. But it was just a visa situation where one couldn't come to the States, but now she was able to. Usually it's just as a physio and myself. And then at the bigger tournaments, like at Wimbledon, she's got a bigger supporting cast with, you know, friends and family and her agent as well. So, but for the most part, it's just the three of us and Harold, her dog.
I love that. What kind of dog?
Oh my gosh, he's gonna kill me for this. I don't know what kind of dog he is. But he's
little guy.
He's an awesome dog. Let's say that. Yeah, little guy. He's 16 years old and he's awesome. He's a beast.
That's great. So. And so how many tournaments have you been with Venus at so far?
So we did the grass court swing, which was three. So this is my sixth or seventh tournament with her.
Wow. And is there anything that sticks out in kind of her preparation that you notice as her coach that separates her from other players?
Her mentality, her focus, her tenacity, her just ready to go from the second, you know, we leave the hotel, whether it's to practice and whether she's, you know, doing her stretching routine or her warm up or her cool down. It's just, it's business. It's all business, and it's really awesome to see.
I think it's when you look at sports, when you look at the NBA, you talk Michael Jordan, and the NFL, Tom Brady, and all these guys in tennis. You know, you got Nadal, you got Serena and Venus. They're all crazy competitors that are really dedicated to the sport. Is there anything that you think a junior player could do to kind of encapsulate that mindset and make it their own?
Yeah, I think they can watch and learn. They can, you know, they can see all these great athletes and great players, whether it's at tournaments or on TV, and or if they're lucky enough to watch them practice, to really pay attention, you know, how they go about their practices, how they get there early, how they warm up, how focused they are doing practice, how they listen to their coaches, how they're willing to make adjustments or try new things. I think that's the biggest thing that I've noticed, not just with Venus, but being around other great players, is how open they are to trying something. Now they may try it once or twice and they don't like it, and that's fine. That's their mentality, but they're always willing to try something that might help them get better, whether it's a string, a different tension, an adjustment that your coach is talking about, a certain way to move to a ball or a certain place to hit a ball. And they're always willing to try it and then have a, you know, an honest, open discussion about it. I think a lot of times as juniors or young adults or young pro players, a lot of times we let our ego get in the way a little bit. And we, you know, we're like, oh, well, this is how I do it, and I don't feel comfortable doing it this way, or this is how it's always worked. Well, just because it's worked and recently, it doesn't mean it's going to take you to where you want to go. You know, maybe it's worked so far, but now it's time to change it or to make an adjustment to keep getting better or achieving bigger goals. So that openness is something that I feel a quality that all great players have.
Is there anything else besides openness that you think separates a great like Venus and the rest of everyone who's won Grand Slams and those players from people that haven't?
I think just their mental toughness, their willingness to come out and play every point like it's the last one, like Rafa says a lot. You know, it's like you just staying in the moment, not getting too far ahead of yourself or not getting caught up in mistakes you've made. But I think just hard work and mental toughness. I think this is probably the two biggest things.
How much do you think confidence plays in that mix too?
Yeah, I think it's very important. I think confidence is important in every athlete's mind and career. And I think, you know, like we said earlier, you know, you get confidence from getting great wins or beating great players or knowing that you put in the work or knowing that you gave it your all and that you're doing everything that you can to achieve the goal that you want to achieve.
Definitely. I would also be curious to hear a little bit about when you're on the road, it's obviously very strenuous. You're in new locations, you're at hotels. A lot of the juniors have to do that too when they travel for national tournaments. Is there anything that Venus or any players that you know do to make sure that their body is prepped when they're on the road for all these tournaments and everything?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Actually, I think a lot of juniors can learn from pros in this aspect, and that their downtime, they're always looking for things they can do, whether it's to recover their body, right, so they can go hard again the next day, whether it's stretching, whether it's icing or taking an ice bath or cryo, or eating properly. But they really maximize their downtime. Pros do compared to junior players. I think junior players could do a much better job of maximizing that downtime and whether it's getting into the gym for, you know, 30 minutes a day while you're on the road or going out for a run, or instead of just sitting in your room on your phone, just you can get a good stretch session in. There's you can do watch matches on YouTube or video analysis. I mean, there's so many things that I feel juniors could do in their downtime to help them, you know, improve and get better that pros are doing day in and day out. And it doesn't all have to be work related. I mean, a lot of times the pros need a break and they'll go to a concert or a museum or go do something fun to kind of just distract themselves and release a little bit of that pressure. That's also part of making sure that you're ready to go the next day and that you're not overloaded or burnt out. So just managing their downtime and making the most of it.
I think that's huge. And then something else that you mentioned there a little bit was the idea of watching film and matches and those sort of things. Is that something that's you work on with Venus at all?
It's something that I do. And then I'll sit and talk with her about it and be like, hey, I watched, you know, last week's match. This is what I saw. This is what you could have done better. It's mainly me doing it. And then communicating with her from what I see. And then if she has a question or something about a specific point or something in the match, then maybe we'll go back and look at it together. Or if she wants to know something about her serve, we'll look at her serve on video a little bit. That's definitely part of something that we do.
That's great. Is there anything that you would advise kids and junior players, even college players and everyone that has access to tape of their own matches, to go back and watch for any particular things that you always look at when you're breaking down the film?
Yeah, I think a big one is playing the big targets. I think juniors a lot of times, you know, love being a living highlight reel, and they love hitting these great shots and, you know, going for lines and for big shots. And then when you watch pro tennis, you really understand that, man, I don't really need to hit the ball that big or that close to the line. If you watch pro tennis, a lot of the guys are really solid. They're hitting the ball big, obviously, but they're going to big targets. And when they're in a position to do so, maybe they push the envelope a little bit more and play to tighter spaces. But really understanding that it's not, you know, all highlight reels and hitting unreal shots and going for lines all the time. It's just really about being smart and understanding and knowing when you can take some risk and when you need to play high percentage tennis.
That's, I think, a great note that if anyone's listening, they might need to run that one back and play it again.
Yeah. I've definitely spent enough time around juniors to know that they love the ooh and aw shots.
100%. And then while you're out at the U.S. Open with Venus, what's kind of the day-to-day look like for her on match days, off days?
Yeah.
The whole really tournament.
Yeah. Again, every player's different. Venus doesn't like spending a lot of time at the site. So we like to go in there, do what we have to do. If it's lunchtime, maybe we'll grab lunch there. And if she's got some media stuff, she'll do that stuff. And then we'll head right back, and she goes right back into recovery mode. Like I was saying earlier, you know, whether it's icing or stretching or getting a massage but we tend not to spend a ton of time on site. We just kind of go in and do what we have to do and get out of there. And then as far as match day goes, it's similar. We get there maybe an hour and a half before her practice. She does her warm-up routine. She gets loose. Her warm-ups are fairly quickly. They're not very long warm-ups.
What does that look like for her, a warm-up on a match day?
No different than any other warm-up. She'll hit some ground strokes, maybe do some cross courts, take some volleys, serves, returns, and that's it. Maybe a total of anywhere between 20 and 30 minutes. And you have players that do that same routine, but they stretch it out in a span of 45 minutes or 50 minutes. But again, it goes back to everyone being different. And we'll get there about an hour and a half before the warm up, and then we'll talk about the match after our warm up and just kind of come up with a game plan and then go out there and give it our all.
I'll tell you what, Ugo, I'm excited to see if she can make a run here at the US Open. I know everyone at the office is going to be locked in now that we got to sit down and talk a little bit about it. So I'm excited.
Thanks. Yeah, you and me both. I would love to see her ever make a nice run here. She's definitely earned it and deserved it. And it would be not just great for her, but great for the sport too. I mean, for her to have a nice run here would be just awesome for the game of tennis.
Oh, 100%. And sadly, we have to wrap it up here, but I feel like we could go on for hours. So maybe after the Open and down the line, we can get back on and hear how it went for her.